So last week we finished up Acts, and before we haven't really nailed down exactly our next steps. I like to have a day of prayer before we decide where we're headed next, and it certainly is possible that we'll continue on for the rest of the summer, at least with building on firm foundations. And that would be, the next step in that would be Romans. So we'll have to decide. You can be praying if we should take the building on firm foundations to a night of the week, that we talked about that when we first began. I don't think we'll start something like that in the summer, but in the fall, if that's the direction we should take, then you can be praying about that. And so we haven't decided yet if we should start Romans, which is the next step, as I said, in building on firm foundations and working our way through the New Testament. So you can think and pray on those things, and you can give us any feedback that you might have. But we finished Acts last week, and as we were closing up, I asked you to turn to, I played a trick on you, and I asked you to turn to Acts 29. And some of you were busy turning to Acts 29. And you realized when you got there that it wasn't there, that Acts 29 is going on right now, that Acts 28 ended the recorded history of the early church by Luke, but the history keeps going. And we find ourselves carrying on with the same mission that they had. It's the same church. It's the same mission. And so I thought we would take at least one Sunday and just talk briefly about Acts 29, about some of the tools that God has given the church, has given individuals, to carry on with the mission that He has given us, the commission He's given us to, really, that commission we stated all the time. But there's a lot of different ways to say it. It's to know God and to make Him known is one way that is put. It's to go into all the earth and make disciples is another way. But it's to fulfill God's purposes on this earth, that we are working together and living our daily lives to fulfill His call and His purpose. And there are a lot of little things that work into that, a lot of details. And I think that one reason we continue to set the goal out there for us is that we don't forget. If we just talk about families, then that's great. We need to talk about husbands loving their wives, and we need to talk about raising children. But if we just get our eyes on that and we forget to look ahead, we forget where that particular thing is going. And even this morning, as we talk a little bit about gifts, you'll notice the conversation about gifts can just get inwardly focused when the whole purpose that we have been given gifts is to, and you might think in your mind, to serve others, to serve the body. Yeah, that's true. But it really is to make disciples. It's to go into all the world and make disciples. So, in the back streets of Jordan somewhere, maybe there's a young man leading someone to Christ. That person turns and puts their trust in Jesus there in an alleyway somewhere. How did that happen? Who did that? Well, we know who really did it. God did it. But a lot of things took place for that to happen. You know, there might have been a Sunday school teacher 25 years earlier that shared the gospel with that young man. And he came to know Jesus. And that's why he's there. Because there was a gifted teacher that was doing what she or he was called to do. And then how did he get? Well, somebody had to give. Somebody had to give money to get that person there. The gift of generosity, of giving. Well, somebody had to pray. Somebody had to really believe, because that's a tough spot to be in. How did they get there anyway? And that takes a lot of faith. But there probably was one person believing. Maybe it was a mom. Maybe it was a dad. Maybe it was just a member of the body believing God that He would do what He said He would do. He would take the gospel to the whole world. And somebody was believing. And maybe someone, that Middle Eastern man that came to know Jesus, maybe there was someone that showed him mercy. Somebody that was not the person that led him, but there was somebody that showed him kindness and compassion, and that opened his heart. So it was not just that young man maybe kneeling down with him in some back alleyway in Jordan or wherever leading him to Christ. It was a whole movement of the body of Christ, of the gifts, all working together. And that was a great example that you gave there, David, of when Carlton played the chord, and you move one finger out. Move one finger out, and the thing, it really wasn't very nice. It didn't work. See, all those fingers, not just at that moment, but over time, doing what God called them to do faithfully, dependent on Him and the power of the Holy Spirit, operating their gifts, accomplished that task of that man in the far reaches of the world, some back alley somewhere, turning to Jesus and coming to know Him and being reconciled to God. You see, our gifts are not just so we can feel good about working for Jesus. Our gifts are not just so we can feel good about ourselves or feel power or feel good about doing what we're called to do. It's to accomplish God's purposes in the world. And He's gifted people to do that. And last week when we closed up, I asked you to do something. We had a whole list of verses. And we called it Acts 29. I didn't know we were going to go this way today. But it was just verses. And it's off the bulletin from last week. It was a simple request. I asked you to believe those verses. To believe. For instance, that He'll go with you wherever you go. He'll go with you. Now, of course, that's the operating room, as we've experienced recently. But it's also the back streets of Jordan. It's also when you don't know, you don't understand what's going on around you. You don't know why things are the way they are. He says, I'll go with you. Or He says, I'll give you everything you need. Now, we think of that, and just like we do the gifts, we kind of turn that in on ourselves, and we think, I'll give you everything you need. Like, I'll give you a job, and I'll give you transportation. That's true. He does those things. But within the context of the Bible, I'll give you everything you need to do what I've called you to do. See, what God does is He calls us to things that we can't do. He calls us to impossible tasks. And then He says, I'll give you whatever you need to do what I've called you to do. I'll give you the power to do it. And one way that God has done that is He's given us specific gifts, ways to accomplish His will and His purpose in the world. So, while, you know, I looked and I've done this before. Every time I've done a study on the gifts, I go and I find some of those little tests and it says, discover your gift. And I ask you a whole bunch of questions. I can't bring myself to pass those out. Those are okay. They're really okay. I'm not condemning them. Go online and look for them if you want some more help. They can be of help to you. It's just not for me. And I'll tell you how, as we move through this, you can discover your gift. I think those things put you in a box. I don't care for boxes. They try to put you in this groove that you may not fit into. See, you're the only one that'll fit into the groove you fit into. You're the only one that'll fit there. Because you have a unique blend, not just gifts, you have a unique blend of abilities, talents, personality, personal history. You have all these things that make up you and a special blend of giftings that makes up you. So I believe when we look into this, and we're not going to have, this is not going to be a real in-depth study that's going to take a month or something. We're going to get a quick overview today. And there's all sorts of controversial things on the gifts. I may mention those things, but that's not our point this morning. Our point is Acts 29. That you would carry on with the same call that the early... You see, we have the same call. How is our call any different than the early church, the first church? It's not different. It's the same call. So this whole thing, as we look at gifts, even abilities, talents, as we look at those things briefly, this is going somewhere. So even as we talk about, let's say, your gift of mercy or your gift of teaching or whatever, this is looking to do the purposes that God has called the church to do, and you, to go and make disciples. And so is that the example I just gave, we may not know exactly how we fit into it, but we all are meant to fit into it And we'll know someday. I believe you'll be shocked. But we will know someday how we fit into it. Exactly. And sometimes the curtains will open and we'll get a glimpse. We'll see. And I pray that some of that would be this morning, that you'd get a glimpse of where you fit into the picture. So, let's look at a few verses here. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7. And you'll recognize this as a classic passage on the gifts. There are a few places where gifts are listed, mentioned. The lists are not all the same, but some gifts cross over to each of the lists. Verses 4 through 7, chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There is a variety of gifts. And, you know, that variety, that word struck me. Because that made me think of creation. The variety in creation. All the colors, all the different kinds of crazy animals and plants and all the genetic potential that could be put into one animal, a dog. You know, God didn't make Great Danes and Chihuahuas in the beginning, so we understand. He made one kind of dog. And within that was all the genetic potential from all the different kinds of dogs. That's pretty creative, wouldn't you say? That is variety. Now look at all the different animals across the plains of Africa, across North America, South America, and the jungles on the desert. All the great variety. And then you can talk about plants. The great variety. So when it says there is a variety of gifts, I take that seriously. There is a variety of gifts. So you may be picking up from me that I don't think we have all the gifts listed here. It doesn't say that we do. Some would make a stand that this is all the gifts that exist. I think we could have general categories of gifts. And so maybe these are categories. So if I teach, I'm up here and I'm teaching. You might call it preaching sometimes or sometimes teaching, but I'm in this place of teaching. Now, you, mom, may have a gift of teaching too. Does this operate like my gift? Does it sound like or look like my? It doesn't. It would be hard to call the same thing. But it doesn't change. That if that's your gift, that's your gift. And you put it to work in the way that God has gifted you to put it to work. There's a great variety. On the back porch of your house with two other people in a very casual setting, you could be operating in your gift of teaching. And you know something else? Gifting does not signify spirituality. You may have the gift of helps. That could be anytime you see somebody doing something, you have this desire, this urge. I just want to help out. I just want to help them. You need a hand with that? Let me give you a hand with that. Are you starting a Bible study? Let me come. I'll bring something to eat. I'll set up the chairs. I just want to help. Do you think that person of help, that person is not necessarily any more or less spiritual than Billy Graham, who has the gift of evangelism, who, when he shares the gospel, it makes me want to get saved again. How many thousands upon thousands people I know that have come to know God through. Well, that doesn't mean that Billy Graham is any deeper or more spiritual than that person that says, I just want to help. There's no ranking of spirituality between the two. No, I think Billy Graham's a really spiritual guy. I do. But that, just because he has the gift of evangelism, doesn't make him that. It doesn't make him more spiritual than the person that has the gift of helps. There's a great variety of gifts. You still can discover your gift. This is not limiting you. I think it opens the door for you to discover your gift, to see how God... You see, we don't take 1 Corinthians 12 and we all of a sudden... We put God in a box when all through Scripture He's been going crazy, doing magnificent stuff. Taking a boy from the fields of watching the sheep to become the king of a nation. He does magnificent stuff. Creation, the great variety, from a giraffe to a T-Rex to a mouse. So this is the same God that put gifts in the body. This is the same God. He does things the same way. There's a pattern that He does things, and it's very unpredictable. Except within, He does align Himself with the Scripture. Or He aligns the Scripture with Himself, I should say. So, there's a great variety of gifts. And I really wish, you know, this is just me. I really wish everybody was here today for this next statement. Just for this next statement. So, we'll depend on the Holy Spirit. We'll depend on you. How do we get this? Well, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any special abilities. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You have a gift that's meant to be used for God's purposes in the world. Verse 11. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Who gets left out of that? Nobody. If you are a believer. Now, that is the criteria, okay? You have to put your trust in Christ, and the Holy Spirit has had to come and dwell in you, which happens when you put your trust in Christ. So, when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. We've already discussed that many times. He gives you a gift. You may not know what it is yet, and it may be in conjunction with some ability that you had before you were a believer. It may be. God has the freedom to do that. It's not just something just pow! Or it might be something just pow! It might be. But He has the freedom to do it either way. He wants to do it. We will not limit Him in this. Because the Scripture has not limited Him in this. So, your gift may be in conjunction with some ability, desire, interest that you already had. Now, you can take this to the bank. It had no power before like it has now. If it was an ability you had before. You know, there was a guy, I've probably told you guys this before, but when I worked in Wyoming in the oil field, there's one of the guys on the crew, and he went through a difficult time, and his family had left him, and he came to live in our house. We had a bunch of single guys living together. He came to live in the house, and he came to know the Lord. And he was, as you would expect, he was a little rough around the edges. But he came to church with us, and he just didn't know any better. He said, I have a song. I said, okay, maybe it was in sharing time, I think. I don't remember. He says, I have a song. I said, okay, I'd like to sing it. Okay, go ahead. He stands up, and he sings a song that the Lord gave him. He wrote the song when he became a believer, and he sang that song. I could sing better than him. He could not sing. There was not a dry eye in the house. It pierced our hearts. It pierced our hearts. There was power in it. That's one of those things that was, bam, let's give it to him. And he used it with great courage and boldness. He stood up and sang his song, and it knocked your socks off. I can't explain it. Don Griffey. 1 Peter. Anyway, my point there, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I have, you can't have a better argument than what I have. It says it very plainly. Yes, you do have a gift. 1 Peter 4:10. 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has, whatever gift he has received, to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its, it uses that word again, in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And, you know, the story I just told you of Don Griffey, that didn't occur to me until just then as we were studying this, but it's like, this fits with this passage too. If anyone speaks, if anyone sings, he should do it as singing, speaking the very words of God. He should do it with the strength that God provides for the purpose of building others up and encouraging them. For what? Just to serve them and make them feel better? Shed a tear? No. To fulfill that end goal. To fulfill that cause of Christ in the world. Yeah, but it takes so many steps for it to get there. Well, let it take those steps. That's God's business. You just operate in the gifts, faithfully doing. So we'll pray for you, Tad, as you go to fulfill that gift. Dad's going to share his testimony with the kids this morning. So, Lord, we do pray for the children, and we pray for Tad as he speaks there, that he would do it in the strength that you provide, and that the children would be impacted and know that you are in the business of transforming lives, calling people to yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, be engaged. Use your gifts. You know, if we tried to do this great study and tell you how all the gifts, or try to tell you, could be used in the body and in the world, it might limit you. You know, it might be a mistake. Maybe the best thing I could tell you is be engaged and use your gift. Yeah, but and it may be structure. It may be we need people to teach the kids. We need people for the little ones. We need people to clean the church. We need people to start Bible studies. We need people. But it just might be something way less obvious than that. Something that I could not possibly think of. It might be just helping somebody do something. Pick up something they dropped. Mercy. Who knows what doors that God will open when you're operating in your gifts. But hopefully we'll get a better understanding as we go. Now, you cannot help but go through these lists, and we're going to. And you're going to see some things listed in here that you're going to say, boy, I've never seen that in our church. And so there's some gifts there. Gift of healing, miracles, tongues. And those things some people call sign gifts. And those things, you would have to agree, have diminished since the time of the early church. There are a lot of things that changed in the way God does things. There are no longer apostles. You know, all the apostles were sent out personally by Jesus. You know, all the apostles did miracles. We're told that. They did miracles. It let people know who they were and that they were sent by Jesus and that this thing was real and something new and fantastic was going on in the church. And they all did miracles. And if there were people that had gifts of healing, that I don't mean that they called the TV cameras around and said, watch this. It's just that they did what God had called them to do in the power of God. So, have these gifts stopped? Well, in my opinion, the purpose of them has diminished. Does God stop them? I don't know. It didn't tell us specifically that it stopped. I think it's a good possibility that the sign gifts have stopped. I don't know anybody that has the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. And you say, well, I've known somebody that got healed. I've known a lot of people that got healed. But I don't know of any person that every time they go and pray for somebody to be healed, that they're healed. I don't know of anybody like that. I think those people existed in the past. I think they did. Now, do you have a desire to pray for somebody that has cancer, for them to be healed and not die? Then pray. Because we are told to do that. And we are told to believe God that He will answer prayer. You do that. You follow through on that. So, we're not going to focus on those sign gifts, but we're not going to limit you either. I'm going to tell you not to believe God for a miracle. God can still do miracles. And He does. He does. I don't happen to know anybody with the gift of miracles. Have I prayed for a miracle and had obvious things happen? Well, yeah. I have. But do I have the gift of miracles? I don't believe I do. I would like, if I did, I would claim it. I wouldn't be ashamed of it. So, the apostles were specially gifted men. They wrote down the words of Scripture, or people that were closely associated with Him. You'll notice the canon is closed after the last apostle died. That was John. that the canon was closed. There was no more scripture being written after John died. That these were the men that were to write down or to oversee, in a sense, the writing down of the words of God. Prophets, there were prophets in the church in that day, and they would speak the words of God to the people before we had the written word of God. Do we still have the gift of prophecy? I think we may have the gift of prophecy in some form. Now, here again, we're not going to narrow that down, but I have known people with the gift of look at a situation and without planning, without preparation, be able to nail the scripture that fits that situation or the scriptural principle that fits that situation. And that's a person that you would like to go to, like for counseling or something, that they could apply scripture to your specific situation. So that's good to know. It's good to develop that if you have that sort of gift. So it's possible. Some people believe that prophecy might be the preaching, proclaiming of God's word. I'm not so sure about that, but we're gonna go down through the list in just a minute. I just wanted to throw out those things that you may have. I may not give you an adequate explanation of those. We've studied this before. First Corinthians. You can go and look in the archives, and you can. There's two lessons on these gifts. So now we have the complete scripture. We no longer have the need for the office of apostle. So when it talks about apostles here, many times we're talking about the office of apostle. And there was a man that filled that office. There was no instructions given on how to pass on the office of apostle. We have a lot of instructions about elders, don't we? How do we pass on the position of elder? Well, we see a man that qualifies. We see a man doing the work of the elder. We lay hands on him and we pray for him. We commit him to God's work. There's no instruction like that for an apostle. They were appointed by Jesus. All of them did miracles. And their time is over. We have some people with apostle-like ministries. That would be to go into a foreign land and start a church. That would be an apostle-like ministry or an apostle type of a gifting, but not the office of apostle. So here we're going to go through these lists in a minute of all these gifts. And here's the thing. It's kind of like you've joined a baseball team and you have to learn all the positions. You have to learn to pitch. You have to learn first base. You have to learn all the positions. And that would not be uncommon for a team to learn. And you get to try. We have these lists of gifts. You basically need to know how to do all these things. You need to operate and do these. You need to have mercy, whether you have the gift of mercy or not. You need to know how to explain the scripture, whether you have the gift of teaching or not. So, but as you do these, you're going to find that, oh man, the outfield just seems like a natural. I seem to get to those fly balls. I can snag them. I can catch them. But catching, man, I don't like those things coming directly at me like that. I'm a little uncomfortable with that, and I'll never get used to that. But yeah, so there are certain things, the way this list of gifts, we're called to do all these things. And as you do all these things, you'll find that some are going to fit better than others. And some are going to have more fruit. Some are going to be more powerful than others for you. So it's really kind of a cool system. It's this general list of things that we all should be doing, that we should all have a part of our life. And you're going to find that some, though, you should give priority to, because some are going to be more effective in accomplishing God's purposes. It's certainly not that you're going to stop doing the others. If you don't have the gift of helps, that doesn't mean you never help anybody, does it? I'm not gifted in that. You go ahead. Or, I don't know what my gift is yet. I'm just going to wait. No, you can do all of these things. You can do these things. You can share God's word. You can help. You can have mercy. You can have compassion. You can have hospitality. You can do those things. Now, the one that really strikes you, there may be one that's like, whoa, that didn't drain me. That refreshed me. People really responded to that. Well, that might be your gift, but I don't see it exactly on here. That's okay. See, you can give priority to those things that are effective that God has called you to do, and He gives you power to do. Do you sometimes see things that other people miss? Maybe it's in a particular arena. Maybe you notice that that if someone poor comes in, that they don't get the kind of attention that they should have. And you want to give them attention. And you think the church needs to take care of this. And why don't we do this? And why don't we have something set up to help the poor people that come in? Why don't we do that? Well, if you feel strongly about that, you know, that might be the gift of mercy you have. And you see it. And the gift is to step in and do it. Not to recognize that it needs to be done. To recognize it needs to be done is the first step. You may have, so we don't get, you don't get to say your gift is operating when you critique something that's not happening. That's not a gift operating. The gift operating is when you step in and feel the need. So you may have taken a God-given gift and you're using it for sin. You can take a God-given gift and, oh, I notice that poor people come in and nobody pays attention to them. That church, I'm leaving, I'm going. You've just become a critic. You've used your gift for sin. God gave you that gift so you would do something about it. And He probably gave you power to do it, where you could have made a real difference and really started something powerful and good, and all you did was get mad and leave or critique it. It's the proper use of the gifts. There may have been, the reason for that though, may have been what we're going to talk about in a minute. There may have been a disconnect between you and God that caused you, but you still had that ability. So, we do not consider it using your gift to eloquently describe what's missing in the church. That's not using your gift. So, I'm full of analogies today, I guess, but I got this one from somebody else. So, you're sitting with your group of people. You're in a restaurant. Here comes the waitress with the meal. And she comes around the corner, and her foot goes out from under, and bam, she spills all the food on this poor guy sitting in this chair here. And then it goes all over the floor. Bam, she hits the floor. Everybody at your table jumps up. One person runs over and says, oh, look, the food spilled all over you. I'm so sorry. You know, I've got an extra shirt in my car. Let me run out and get it. That's a gift, isn't it? One person says, oh, let me clean this mess up. Look at this. Let me help you get this. That's another gift, isn't it? One person says, you know, this could be prevented next time. You know, if these chairs were arranged just a little bit differently, does that sound like administration? And one person goes, you know, everybody sit down here. You know, we have something to learn from this thing that just happened. Did you guys notice this gift here was just an operation? And did you know the next time this happens, here's what we could do. That was a teacher. We saw the gift of helps. And somebody might say, hey, look, you know, why don't all you guys here, let's, everybody can come over to my house afterwards and we can, hospitality. Or one person, you know, that meal, who's going to pay for that? Well, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. I got it. Giving. And then one guy goes, and the next time this is going to happen is January of 2015. I'm just kidding. That was the prophet. I would say the prophet would say, you know, there's a scripture that fits this. The body in action, the hand doing his part, the eyes doing their part. And that fits this situation perfectly. I think that was the prophet, not the teacher, that just nailed it right then. And everybody went, whoa, that was good. That was good. Each part, doing his part to accomplish a purpose. Do what you see needs to be done. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do what you do best. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I got to say, do what you love. You know? Spirit empowered, do what you love. A couple things can happen. You know, you can, you know, that guy that paid for the meal. Maybe somebody in the restaurant really said, boy, I would have never done that. It was generous. And he goes, yeah, it kind of was, wasn't it? Or the guy that just nailed it, he might think, boy, nobody else saw that but me. And the one that was down there cleaning up the spill that went under the table said, nobody noticed. Nobody noticed what I did. So one person may be tempted with pride. One person may be tempted to call the gift that God gave them to do insignificant. So whatever place you find in the gifts, there's always going to be temptation in the gifts rather than bringing praise to God. And that's what happens when the gift is done in the proper way. It brings praise to God and fruit will come of it eventually. And these gifts operate church-wide. They operate worldwide. They operate within your small group. They operate within your family. You know, if you notice, the gifted evangelist doesn't... every time the gospel goes out with power, people are not saved. Just like a gifted parent, a gifted teacher, may do things in the right way. And the results may not come exactly like you think they ought to come. It doesn't mean that you haven't operated in the power of that gift. It doesn't mean that. But when there is a connection to God, you're relying on Him, and you operate in that gift, there's a power in it, and He's using it. He's using it. He will. And He desires you to be engaged with that gift in the body, whether it's in a structured sense or non-structured. We're not going to put God in a box. Let's look at these gifts, these lists. And so, as we read through these, I may comment on some of them, but I want you to just look at them and see. Because remember, great variety. This is, we so much think we just have the Bible just nailed down because we can read a commentary and read the Greek and we can study and I can tell you exactly and we can look it up in the dictionary. And all that's good. It's all good. But, you know, the gift of encouragement, exhortation, don't try to put that in a box. Don't. You have no idea how some of you that have the gift of encouragement, one word. I may have never said anything. One look, in my heart is encouraged. I'm built up to carry on and do what God's called me to do. So we're not going to put these things. We're not going to put these things in a box. There's a great variety in the gift of teaching. There's much difference between me and John Piper. Much difference. There's much difference between the one that teaches the Firm Foundations Bible Study and John Piper or whoever famous preacher you want to. There's much difference. But there's a power in the gift. There's different ways it's applied, but there's great variety. And yours does not have to look exactly like someone else's. And that's why I think we're not given all these great explanations about these gifts. You have to go to commentaries to get those. You don't get them out of the Bible. Romans 12:4-8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, I think of one thing, gift of faith. You have a whole church, and we may be crumbling under the load and the attack of the enemy and discouragement. And one person may stand up, and you can see by the look on their face, they're not discouraged. They're believing God. They're believing Him. And not only are they just not discouraged, they're encouraged. Because God has given them a measure of faith. And they are believing God that He's going to come through. He's going to lift up. He's going to empower. He's going to answer prayer no matter what. He's God. One person has that. And everybody goes, I can believe God. I can believe Him. That person has the gift of faith. And they're being used. One person has the gift of giving. And other people will follow suit. See, they all are to give. But one person has a special ability. And giving. But I'm supposed to give too, even if I don't have that special gift. And I will, especially if you lead me, especially if you do what you're called to do. I'll see what you're doing. And I'll see how God's using it. And I want to join in with you. 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians. Verses 8 through 11. We'll start with verse 7. So you can hear the verse 7 again. I want you to hear verse 7 over and over and over again. Now to each one, to you personally, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit to another faith. By the same Spirit to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit. He gives them to each one as He determines. And down to verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer to that is unwritten no. Anytime you get into a group of believers and they expect everybody to have one, the same gift, either teach or leave. Really, because that's contrary to the Scripture. And it really puts you in a bad position to think and to try on your own to attain some gift that the Holy Spirit's not giving you. He's the one that gives the gifts. Do all prophesy? No. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we believe that this list here in Ephesians 4 is a list of offices basically filled by gifted believers. And as we stated earlier, we believe that at the end of the apostolic age, which was about, you could say, around 100 A.D., that there are no longer this type of position of apostles. That the highest authority, really, that you have in the church is the elder. So, verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, gaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then down to verse 16. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And there are other places where different gifts are mentioned. The gift of singleness, of hospitality, possibly martyrdom, being a missionary, an apostle type gift, voluntary poverty, and a few that I've made up that I think fit. Things like dot connectors. You know, you have groups of influence. We talked about that. Within a church, within anywhere. Then you have people that have the ability to connect those groups. They have to pass from one group to the other and to be a part and to build relationships and to somehow connect the purpose and the calls. You need that in a church. You need people that have that ability. Community developers. People that can build up community, have that ability to build up and to encourage community. I don't know the name of that, but I think those things are gifts. Those things that we have, those things operating in this body, of people that have that ability to do those things. There's a story told, and I think it's a true story, but I won't say that for sure. But it's a specific college, and I can't remember. It's an old time college from the 1800s, and there was a lawyer that graduated from there, and he graduated the very top of his class. And he gave the speech, the baccalaureate speech. He was blind. And when he gave his speech, he said, well, I'd like to give exactly half the credit to, and he named another lawyer that was graduating that day too. And that guy stood up, and he had no arms. This guy was blind. And what happened is he was approaching a set of stairs on one of the, like the first day of class, and the lawyer to be, with no arms, came over and guided him down the stairs. And then they went on to the library, and they had to carry some books back to class. Well, the blind guy carried the books, and the guy without arms led the way. And they developed this partnership. And that's the way they went through the rest of school and went on after that to start a law practice and began to work together, because they saw how well their abilities and disabilities matched for a good cause. And so often the body is like that. All the while we're saying, no, I got it. I got the stairs. I can carry my own books. No. We work together. And so many times I see how God has given me weaknesses that I detest. Yet I see God fill them with somebody else. Often. And He intends us to do that, to be in partnerships, and to use the gifts and abilities that He's put within the body to accomplish His purpose. Do you see how that brings unity? Brings strength in weakness. But He wants you, desires you, has called you, has empowered you to be engaged. Do you remember that example that we gave when we were studying through Acts of the pneumatic tools that you walk into any garage these days and they have pneumatic tools. They turn wrenches some, but if they can get an air tool on it, they're going to put an air tool on it. Especially if you're talking about taking off lug nuts, it's zzz, 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 and the job is done. It's so odd, isn't it? That word pneumatic, that's the same word that's used in the Greek for the Holy Spirit, pneuma. It's the same root word that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and He's given us these tools to use. Now, we have to make sure that we are connected to the air compressor. There's no kinks in the hose, or the tool is going to, it's not going to work very well. So we have this open, free line of connection, and the tools have power. But so many times, we've just set them aside, and we're doing our own thing. Rather than using the gifts and tools that God has empowered and given us to use for His purposes. And there's a great joy in it when we do it. You will find that. He's built it that way. There's a great joy in doing it. And we get to have the joy, and He gets the glory, because it's obvious when He does it and we don't. But He's gifted us to do that. And when there's a part missing, and again, that little finger that didn't push the guitar string, it doesn't make a very nice sound. But when all the fingers are there doing their part, miraculous, great things can happen in accomplishing God's purposes in the world. And you can be a part of it. And I can too. Be engaged. Do what God's called you to do.